Good evening, and welcome to the Upper Room. We are just about to start. Okay, Bob, are you in?
Yes,
hello?
I'm in now.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. This is Cheryl Sanfilippo. Is Dr. Rabbani online?
Yes, you're welcome. So we are just about to begin, and we are beginning with a short devotion.
Wonderful.
Before the doctor begins to speak.
Wonderful.
Let's start with a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be before you tonight. We thank you because you said that you wish that we are in health. And when Jesus Christ was here, he did more healing than preaching. You made us perfect and whole. But because sin came, we suffer. Lord, I pray you lift us up above self. Give us the strength and the ears that listen, that we may obey thy commandment, so that it can be well with us. Be with us tonight. And as our doctor will be sharing and answering questions, I pray you may be with him. A minister from above, and we that are listening, as we hear your word, give us the strength to do them. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to share some reading from the book called The Medical Missionary Manual, where the page I often told you says, every Bible worker is called to medical missionary work. All gospel workers should know how to give the simple treatment that do so much to relieve pain and remove disease. Answer on health, 389. The voice of the third angel's message is to be heard with power. Let the teachings of health reform be brought into every effort made to get the light of truth before the people. Evangelism 5:33. Medical missionary work is the pioneer work of the gospel. The door through which the truth for this time is to find entrance to many homes. God's people are to be genuine medical missionaries, for they are to learn to minister to the needs of both souls and body. The purest of selfishness is to be shown by our workers as, with the knowledge and experience gained by the practical work, they go out to give treatment to the sick. And they go from house to house, they will find access to many hearts. Welfare Ministries 125 and Christian Service 132. Every nurse is called to the medical missionary work. Missionary nurses who care for the sick and relieve the distress of the poor will find many opportunities to pray with them, to read to them from God's words, and to speak of the Savior. They can pray with and for the helpless ones who have not strength of will to control the appetite and that passion had degraded. The revelation of unselfish love manifested in acts of disinterested kindness will make it easier for these suffering ones to believe in the love of Christ. The Lord bless the reading and make us all missionary for Him. At this time, we'll be handing over to Dr. Rubaini Kirimawa, if I pronounce it right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How do you pronounce that last name, Kirimawa?
Yes, correct.
That's all right. Okay, you're welcome. And thank you for being with us for all these many days.
Oh, it's yesterday, a pleasure.
Yesterday was like a climax. But I believe that there's more in store today. And people are waiting to share their testimony or to ask questions. May the Lord continue to lead you over, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Ethelbaum. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the other room, and especially Dr. Rabbani. Thank you for joining us again this evening. And we're just going to go straight to the questions, because I know many people have, I'm sure they came with questions. So before I ask my question, does anyone have any question for Dr. Rabbani at this time?
If I recall, yesterday you were talking about fruit-only diet. My mother-in-law, I was talking to her about this conference, and she says, what about people with dentures and stuff who don't have false teeth?
Yes.
Should it be juiced or what?
Well, you can give them smoothies.
Smoothies, yeah. Okay. And they get all their nutrition that way?
Oh, of course, of course. Smoothie has everything in their fiber as well.
Yeah, cool. I love smoothies. And what about people who are intolerant to certain foods?
Can we do that again, sorry?
What about people who are intolerant to certain fruits or whatever?
Those are the evidence that there has been some kind of toxic accumulation in their system. That's why they are reacting to certain foods. So in a case like that, clean them first, then give them the right nutrient.
If intolerant, cleanse first?
Yeah, they have to go through a detoxification first, because that intolerance simply means there's toxic material accumulating in their system.
Okay. I will let her know this.
All right.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
I was going to ask, say what about the lacto-ovo intolerant, but I think I already know the answer.
Okay.
But I keep doing that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else have any other questions before I start? Okay, Dr. Rabbani, our first question tonight is, what is the best milk product to give an infant if breast milk is not available?
All right. Milk of all kinds, whether they be formula with all fancy nutrients attached to the formula, whatever, are all bad. They all come from the animals. And according to recent studies, which again confirms our famous Spirit of Prophecy books and our Bible, animal milk, especially the cows or the colt or whatever, they are all designed for the animals. And the animals' bodies are not quite the same as human bodies. Therefore, cut that out. Initially, no formula from the cows. That would be the first step I would do. And then, thank God we have the coconut cream that we can substitute the human milk with. And here's the ratio. 4-part purified water, or the best water you can get. If you cannot, then use the young coconut water. And 1-part coconut cream, freshly prepared. Mix it up. You can add a little bit of maple syrup or other sweetener that you know very well is compatible with the age of the child. Maple syrup, because it comes from the plant, is much better than honey, because honey of the botulism in it is not really good for infants. All right. Next.
Okay, thank you, doctor.
You're welcome.
Okay, our next question is numbness of the arm.
Okay.
What is the cause of that, and what can we do to alleviate this?
Well, it all depends. Sometimes when people sleep on one of their sides all night long, then they expect the numbness because the blood is not circulating. It has been somewhat cut off, you know. Sometimes it's been overused for the first time. All of a sudden, then it has that kind of kickback onto it where it seems to be wanting to rest instead of being used again. And the bottom line for all of this is poor circulation. That's all there is to it. Not enough oxygen flowing through the system. And that oxygen is needed, very much needed, by everything in the body, including our cells. And if the cells are not getting enough of their oxygen, an aerobic process is going to take place. And this is where the problems start to manifest itself.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question, what about cold feet?
Cold feet is the same thing. The blood is not reaching the extremities. And usually people that have problems are elderly ones because they hardly exercise. And so if you seem to get that, try to wear socks and try to have some kind of exercise on a daily basis. If not, go and soak your feet in nice, warm to hot water, however hard you can take. Not to burn them now, but just enough so that you can draw the blood to the feet, your lower part of your body.
Okay. We just got a text with a question. What about goat milk? This has just been said.
Goat milk is a lot better than the cow's milk, according to these experts. But even then, they are designed for the goats. And I guess human beings are not quite like goats, are they? So the reason why a lot of infants are not getting their mother's breast milk is because of the, wishes of the young lady or whatever the mother is. Oftentimes, they don't want to breastfeed for some unknown reasons, only themselves know. Maybe it has to do with their figure or their beauty. I have no idea. But God designed the breast milk to be given to the infant. That's the best milk in the world for the child's well-being.
Some mothers don't really have, can't produce milk in for the baby. Why is that?
Well, it has to do with all their wrong type of eating habits. Prior to getting married and during pregnancy, that's the main problem with them. Too much of this drug usage in the form of family planning or other things that we don't know, only the lady knows. But that's the main trouble that causes the system not to produce milk when it's supposed to, when their lactating period comes.
Now, is there anything that they can do, I mean, because of that problem when they're pregnant and after the child, is there anything that they can do? Can they try and change their diet?
Well, for one, if they really want to feed their child, they need to eat right. They need to drink a lot of fluid, which is basically water added to lemon tea or whatever, but they must have some kind of intake of good nourishing food, because that's how it is being turned by their body into the milk that the baby needs. So it depends again on, I guess, what shall we say, the education. Our young ladies need to be educated along those areas.
I see, yes. Okay, thank you. This time, I want to ask anyone, do you have anybody have any questions? And if you don't feel like asking it, and you can text your question to me, and I'll ask the doctor. My number is 562-243-4198. Doctor, what if a person is itching after bathing? I mean, they're just itching before bathing and after bathing. What is that sign, and what can they do?
What is it? After bathing, is what you're saying?
No, before and after they're itching. Let me read this again.
Okay, I got it. Well, one of the presentations I used to present the public is the terrible chemicals we have in our own homes. And unfortunately, all of these chemicals, including our bathing soap, our toothpaste, all these kinds of stuff that we have in our bathroom and, you know, on our dressing table, what have you, they are chemicals which can have their impact, negative impact on our bodies, skin, what have you, that come in contact with. So my advice to those people is, first of all, check what are they allergic to in their own home. Then they can go and ask somebody or look for some professional to help them clean their system up. Because once the system is cleansed, that itch, that allergy to something, whatever it is, will be stopped. And most of the cancers that we have and other chronic diseases, if the person is eating right, what have you, and all the rest of the good things, but these chemicals are in the home, that's the cause of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, what is one thing that you can...
Check your bathing soap, for example. Check
okay.
what you put as your lotion on your skin.
Okay.
But the point,
so those are chemicals.
All using chemicals. And what the sad thing is, which a lot of people don't know, the preservative also is used, and guess what that preservative is? The cheapest of all preservatives.
What is that?
Formaldehyde. You know what that is?
No, I don't know what it is.
That's the poison that they preserve the dead bodies with so that they can stay a little bit longer for the wake or other things before they bury them.
Wow.
And that also in babies' stuff, baby soap, all this kind of thing. But it is. But they will not list it. These are called inert ingredients. These are ingredients, I think, less than 5%. And according to FDA, those can pass. Anything below 5%, but these are the killers, which are not listed.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
What about, do you know of any product that doesn't have a chemical that we can use? What about the product, I think it's called Kiss My Face or something like that? Is that a good product to use? Their soap and things?
Why don't you, I don't know that, I'm not familiar with all of them out there, but why don't you go online, Google it up and find it out, get their number, call them up, and take their word, because if you get sick from their product, you can always go back to them. So, a little bit of research. Natural stuff are always safe. For example, oil is very good for the skin. It is antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral, and other things that you can use from nature, in, you know, like lotion type or whatever. Certain leaves, certain roots, you know, certain nuts, like the kukui nut for you guys in Tonga. That's very good. It's excellent. But these chemical ones are, you know, there are a lot of dangerous things in those ingredients. All right?
Yes, thank you, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question is, to what temperature can foods be heated and still be considered naturally raw?
Good question. I think, let me see, the restaurant heating max is 140 degrees. Therefore, it must be less than that. To be safe, not quite at the boiling point, whatever it is. If you use metric or if you use Fahrenheit, then whatever the boiling point is, must be short of that. Because when it's boiling, you know very well it's on the other side of it. Destroying side coming now.
Okay.
I mean, destroying your vitamins and your enzymes. And your minerals now are becoming inorganic. And that's the problem.
Okay, thank you. And the question continues. She says, I am wanting to know about dried fruits and beans that have been soaked and cooked for a long, long time on a very low temperature. Are you aware of any conference or workshop with the title Food as Medicine? This is what she's, I guess this is what she wants to know. And,
well, there are a lot of websites that I think they have their own little private conferences here and there throughout the country. She can refer to Dr. Wright, Dr. McCullough, Dr. McDougall, Dr. Barnard, a lot of, even Dr. Esselstyn, that famous cardiologist that look after his patients with natural stuff. That's another famous doctor that, you know, a lot of people are not aware of. He's very good. He has his own workshops as well. So these are some of the names that's off the top of my head that she can refer to.
Okay. Another question that is asked sorry, I'm going to jump to another one, is what about Arm & Hammer natural deodorant? So we use it as a natural deodorant.
Well, you know, let's put it this way. Anything that is man-made has some kind of drawback. Because things like that needs to be what we call, they need to have their long shelf life. And in order for anything to have a long shelf life, they put some kind of preservative. For example, you know those Christmas cakes and all this kind of stuff, right? You know there are these rums and things like that. In this kind of things that we refer to, like lotions or what have you, they use preservatives, and as I've told you already, formaldehyde is one of the worst ones that is used because it's very cheap. And so I would be cautious if I were to buy something that, you know, is a man-made stuff, because there are always, always in-earth ingredients that are not listed. And they can get by that because according to FDA regulations, they are not required to include all these less than 5%, I think less than 5% the quantity of these ingredients in the stuff. So use your discretion and dig around a little bit and, you know, research it more, and then you come to your own conclusion as to what you want to do.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. Our next question is, what causes, you know, I'm going to repeat this question because the individual couldn't come in last night, but she's in tonight. So if you can just repeat this again, Doctor. What causes memory loss?
Oh, what causes memory loss is actually the malfunction of your neurons. Neurons are your brain cells, and the causes can be, as I stated last night, the wearing out of the myelin sheath of those nerves that supply the nutrients, including the oxygen, to the neurons. Also, the intake of a lot of these heavy metal things. For example, the notorious one is mercury, and a lot of us love our fish, and unfortunately, fish is loaded with this mercury thing, and it settles just like at the base of the top of your spinal cord, which is somewhat just below the cerebellum of the brain. And so what happens is it slows the flow of blood up to the brain. And of course, there are other reasons too, or causes, like accidents, for example, when people fell and, you know, fell on their head, and there might be some kind of blood clot and all that that are not visible or whatever, but they are in there. There's no need to be cleared, because that will again interfere with the flow of blood up to the brain. So these are some of the things that contribute to this brain problem that we have.
Thank you. And what will be some of a cure for these? Is there any other?
I guess last night. Coconut
yes,
oil.
Yes, I know you.
A fashion, as it were, for now to cure Alzheimer's. Just about every doctor that is open to natural remedies and all that is using it. I've been using it for quite a while as well, and all my patients are okay. So I'm not the only one. There are so many of them out there who are using the coconut oil, but careful with your choice when you buy the coconut oil. Get the real good top quality one. Read the ingredients properly. Read the, you know, those little prints there on the label. And the dosage is depends. I normally give like up to 1 tablespoon per meal. I mix it with whatever they eat, whether it's salad or whatever. Instead of olive oil, I just use that. Or if I put them on my program, I mix it with their juice. And then I also go one step further, as I described last night. you know, I get fresh noni juice from the noni leaves and mix the same quantity as I have, maybe half a cup or quarter of a cup, and quarter of a cup organic coconut oil, mix it up, put it on the head, wrap it up, sleep with it, and then in the morning, wash it off. Then after rinsing, put another little amount of oil in the head again so that the coconut oil gets into that myelin level section of the brain so that you can help those blood vessels, you know, become better again after being worn out by the whatever they have done in their life before the treatment. All right?
Okay. Yes, yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question is, what natural things can we use for blood thinner instead of prescription drugs? I don't know the name of the drug.
One really good one is lemon. Lemon juice is an excellent blood thinner. And all your vegetables in their raw state, they are all excellent, as well as your fruits. So all your plant-based foods are very good. When they say to you, oh, there's a lot of sodium in this one, just remember that it is in its natural format. Whereas if you take the salty one from whatever, you know, your snacks and, you know, the table salt itself, that has concentrated sodium in it, plus the chlorine. That's why it's called sodium chloride. And that's not good. It thickens the blood. And again, another problem is when you eat a lot of meat products, too much acid. And acid condition thickens the blood, and that's how your blood pressure goes up. So as cooked food also turns your food into acidic condition. So these are some of the things you may want to bear in mind if you want to lower your blood pressure. And don't forget your exercise and drinking a lot of water. Cool, pure water.
Okay. How much lemon should we put in our water?
Well, what do I tell my patients? All right. I give them a simple one, like 1 gallon of water, maybe 2 medium-sized lemons. Squeeze the juice and put all inside that 1 gallon of water. That should be enough.
Okay. And how much water does an individual take? I know it varies from, I believe, the weight.
Well, I go by body weight. And you find in the literature, and some other experts will tell you that for every pound you need half an ounce, fluid ounce. But because they come to me very sick, I say, why don't you try 1 pound, 1 fluid ounce, so that we can clean up the toxic material from your system. So it's between half fluid ounce to 1 ounce per pound. That's the ratio of your water intake.
Okay, okay. What can we use for toothaches?
For toothpaste? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is we don't really need the toothpaste. But it's been something that, you know, we're so used to. But if you can just have your toothbrush and brush your teeth properly, regularly, and you can have the dental floss to help you, that's all you need. But if you want a good toothpaste, then go to the health food store. They have some natural ones there, but, you know, they are very pricey, you know, but it's up to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about toothaches? When you have a toothache, what can we do to alleviate the pain, or what can we do? I know prevention is better, you know, don't eat anything sweet and stuff and brush your teeth, but if you have a toothache, what can we do to...
Well, my suggestion is if it comes to that stage where it's aching, then it needs attention. Because once it touches that root canal thing down below where the nerves are, that's where that feeling of the pain comes in. So that's where you make your decision as to what you want to do. You can go natural, but you must make sure that it's clean just about every meal or after the meal. Make sure that your meal doesn't have those decaying factor in them, no, those sugary stuff and all this kind of food that are decaying your teeth. On the other hand, there are things like certain herbs that you can use to take away the pain. I just forgot them right top of my head right now, but I think one of them you can use is aloe vera. What else can you use? I think you also can use what's that one there? It's purplish in color. Okay. It'll come back when I but then you can this if I were you, I'll just go and see what the dentist will tell me regarding my teeth, because if it goes that far, you need medical attention right away. If it's just beginning, then you can use this natural stuff to help you. But the best thing, of course, is to prevent it from happening. All right?
Okay, thank you. What about what is alkaline?
Oh, something opposite acid. And the pH strip is a good indicator for you to, you know, you can buy these things from any drugstores out there, or you can go online and order them. It's little P and big H for the spelling of it, and they come in either strips or in longer strips or in just rolls. And what you do is, you know, just follow the instructions, get the strip if it comes in roll, and just dip it either in the urine or, you know, inside your mouth in the saliva, and then the color will change, and the color, you match it with the list of colors that they have on the cover of the strip, right? And then you match it. Anything that is dark in color down below the 7, that's acidic. And that's what I mean when I say the body is acidic, when it's too much cooked food and too much animal products, this kind of stuff. And acidic condition makes your body vulnerable to a lot of chronic diseases. And that is why you need to raise it up. You need to come to about 7. The best pH for the body optimum health is 7.4. That's when the blood works best at that pH level. And so you need to strive for that kind of figure in your system. And as I've stated, you can use those strips to check where you are, whether you are really acidic, or you can be too alkaline, and that's not good either. You need to be somewhere in the middle. And as I've stated, close to 7.4, that's the best. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Another question. What causes gas?
Fermentation in the stomach, especially in the digestive tract below the stomach area, the small intestine and the large intestine, because of the putrefaction of the food. The food is not properly digested, and therefore without the fiber in it, especially if you eat refined processed food and animal products, it goes slowly along that tube, as it were, your small intestines and your large intestine, and as it goes along in that speed, so slow, it ferments and putrefies, causing that gas. Now, have you ever piled the rubbish outside your house, and then you go after a couple of days and just stir it and see? You'll feel that heat coming out of it, and that's what we call methane gas. Well, it's the same thing here inside your body. And so that gas will fill up your entire lower part of your stomach, and you feel like you're bloating. And it's all because of this thing here. It's decaying inside, and that's where it gets rotten, and it affects your the inner lining of your colon, and that's when people start getting, you know, colon ulcers, which turn into colon cancer. This is just because of this kind of food that stays far too long in the digestive tract.
Wow. Would that be the same thing as having heartburn, the same way?
Same thing, the heart reflux, correct. With the, yes, same thing, acid reflux.
Okay. So it's just the food that we eat.
Yes, the food that ferments and doesn't move along because it's no fiber in it, and the stomach finds it hard to work with it, so it just sort of stays inside there for a while. The body says, the stomach says, enough is enough. Let's get rid of this thing. And that's what happens with your animal-based food. They stay for so long in my stomach, up to 12 hours.
And sometimes longer, huh?
Up to 12 hours, the stomach, in the stomach. And then for the rest of it, it's about 4 days.
Okay.
I mean, 2 days for clean meat and 4 days for unclean meat.
Mm. What about earaches? What can we do to get rid of the pain, earaches?
Well, as I said, prevention is always better than cure.
Right.
So always watch. A lot of people have those kinds of stuff that they listen to every day within their ear. Some people use those things, you know, those little sticks that they put in their ear and clean the wax. No, no, those are the no-nos. Don't use those things.
Q-tip? Right? You mean the Q-tip?
Yes, the Q-tip, oh. Correct. Don't use that.
Oh.
Some people use that, and they buy boxes of them. That's silly thing, right? That's when they push it further inside. And the wax, it's usually those that have a lot of dandruff, they also tend to have a lot of wax in their ear. And what causes dandruff?
Dehydration?
Oh, okay,
dead
what else?
Dead skin?
Well, the skin, it has to do with the skin, the peeling off of the skin, because there are a lot of dead ones. But what causes the dandruff, again, is basically good things, sugary and starchy and fatty foods.
I see. You mentioned about the Q-tip. I have a box of Q-tip right in front of me, and I just took one, and my ear was itching.
And now you know what to do.
And now I know what to do. Put it in the trash can. Okay, our next question. What about psoriasis?
Oh, that's another one. That has to do with the skin problem, too. Actually, that one comes from the... Oh, what would be the right word now? You know, when the food, again, is not properly assimilated, not properly digested, and the body's trying to do something with it, and the liver cannot do anything with it, so the liver is throwing all over the place in the tissues, and so it may appear to be a small thing, but actually a lot of chaos inside the system. And so the stomach is affected more so the liver. So, again, careful with this thing, and it happens basically when people are not drinking enough. There's a lot of eating, but less of fluid intake, a lot of solid, as it were. So, it's just one of those things that resulting from the wrong or the bad eating habit.
Okay, so the individual needs to drink a lot of water?
Yes. A lot of people, you know, the United States, from the latest statistics, the majority of the people in this country are dehydrated. And the young ones in particular are the worst ones. They don't drink water at all. They only drink soda.
Right.
And
now, go ahead.
The older people are the same.
Okay. Now, is it curable?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
course. If you just go to those causes and eliminate them, that's it.
Sorry, what was that again?
You just go to the causes I just mentioned to you, and they'll be, the problem will be eliminated.
Okay, okay. So right diet and drinking a lot of water.
Yeah, a lot of our people in this country, particularly, I don't know how to describe some, but some people just live in the fast lane all day long, all week, all month, all year, that they don't know how to cook and prepare healthy foods. They depend on McDonald's and all these fast foods, which they are not good at all for your health.
Right. Okay. I'm going to leave it to the floor. Anyone have any comment or any question? Just mute your phone. I didn't mute anyone. So just please unmute your own phone and ask your question to the doctor.
Okay. Do you have a question along the line of what you've been asking? Can I go ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay. What does the B12, vitamin B12, have to do with the myelin sheath of the neurons?
All right. The B12 is very, very important for cell formation. All right? And the myelin sheath, as I mentioned to you last night and tonight also, is the covering of those nerves. They are like electric wires. Now, they may not help for some other people's reasoning, but if the myelin sheath is not doing its work and it's not there, then you can expect the quality that comes to those nerves to be poor. And so what happens now to the nutrients? Part of the nutrients coming in is vitamin B12. It's not reaching the neurons. It's not reaching the cells. Right? So vitamin B12 is important for cell formation, but there are other things that will that are also needed. For example, if I remember correctly, iron is needed to go along with vitamin B12. So if the person is not eating food that has iron in it, then the vitamin B12 will not be utilized. You see, nature has it so made that it should come in a food package. But for us nowadays, we pick and choose. And so we go and buy such things as supplements and things like that, but we're just specializing on one or two. But the body needs the entire gamut, as it were, the entire package from nature. So when you, say, for example, you have your apple or whatever it is, right, fruit, it comes with a little bit of protein, a little bit of fat, a little bit of carbohydrate, minerals, enzymes. It's full package, right? And so the vitamin B12 is part of that. You following me so far?
Yeah, I'm following you. Can also tell us what are the good sources of vitamin B12 as well as iron?
Vitamin B12, you really don't have to worry about it. If you are healthy, your body produces it. And your liver stores it up to 7 years. Right? And these things are obtained from seeds, nuts, and grain. For your iron, dark green vegetables are very high in iron.
What would you say about watermelon? Seedless versus the seeded one, and then grapes, seedless versus seeded.
Well, check. First of all, are they GMOs? You know what GMO is, right? Genetically modified?
Genetically modified.
Organism. Are they genetically engineered?
Where they were engineered from the laboratory, changing the form and modifying and changing the shape for whatever reason.
So then, if they are, then you stay away from them. I would rather go for the ones with the seeds in them. That's my first choice. And then I'll of course, I'll check whether they are GEs or GMOs, whatever, but I don't know. I prefer seeds because there's seeds has life in them. And if you can eat the watermelon seeds, so much the better. Watermelon is very good for heart problems. It's just liquid, which is very, very good. And that's the recommendation I often give to those that have problems with their heart. I have a lot of watermelon in season. Enjoy it.
Is it likely that the seedless products are actually genetically modified long time ago?
Well, that's my suspicion, but I haven't really checked that out, because we are told in the Bible that anything that has seeds in it, that must be our food. You remember Genesis 1:29? That's the command that God gave. So if it comes without any seed, it must be sterile. It must be something that cannot reproduce. All right? And as we know, with couples that cannot produce children, there's something wrong somewhere.
Right.
And also, is garlic a blood thinner? And how much of that should we even put in our food from time to time?
What is that again? How much you put in
garlic?
Garlic.
Does it thin blood? And how much of it do we need in our food from time to time?
As long as you can take it. There's really no limit for natural stuff. Just take, but always moderation is what we are advised. So in your cooking, just use a little bit of it, because that's a very good antibiotic, garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Good for the heart, so is the onion and the ginger. All those things are very good.
So, doctor, eat all the fruits that have seeds?
That's my own recommendation.
Okay.
And I have a question.
And
sure.
I was going to ask the use of baking soda and toothpaste. I've heard people say you dip your brush in the baking soda and brush your teeth.
Well, there are a lot of people are doing that, but you know, have you read the counsels from Councils on Diet and Food regarding these things? These are what we call condiments and spices. There's a chapter on that, and I think we are advised not to use them.
Baking soda?
Yep.
As well as vinegar, right?
Yes.
And there is an impression that the Bragg's vinegar is okay.
Well, as I stated, read that chapter again and then draw your conclusions, because God knows better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pastor? Okay, there's a lady. Go ahead. Come on in.
Dr. Rabbani, I would like to know, I'm reading about figs, and it's coming into the fig season, and I understand it's a good source of potassium. Is it a fact that it will lower blood pressure? If you have high blood pressure, does it in fact help with the lowering down of the blood pressure, the fig?
There are a lot of fruits out there that will help with your blood pressure. Because for one thing, they are all alkaline. People that have high blood pressure are very, very acidic. Very acidic. So any fruit, any vegetable will help you, because they are alkaline in nature. But there are some that are richer than others. So that's a good idea that you study more. But you'll always be safe by eating fresh, plant-based foods. Your pressure will just go off without any kind of sweat on your part. And you don't need to get those blood pressure pills, because they will just lead you into diabetes.
I already have that.
You already have that. Okay.
I already have the diabetes, and that's what makes me wonder about the fruit, because that, of course, is a carbohydrate. And I'm trying to understand, okay, so I feel like I'm getting a double signal here. I actually do best on vegetables, straight out vegetables.
Well, let me explain. Diabetes is an hormonal disease. I think you are aware of that, right? The imbalance of the intake of glucose. Why is that? Because the island of Langerhans that produces those cells, alpha and beta. Beta especially is not producing insulin, right? Therefore, that sugar that is going through your body from the food you eat is at an enormous amount. That's why you are having that problem, and therefore you need an external help in the form of insulin or pills, as what doctors are giving you, right? So your target, if you are diabetic, is to eat natural-based foods. And I've seen thousands of diabetic patients, and we give them the carrot juice, and within 1 week, less than a week, their glucose goes down, their blood sugar reading. So it all depends on what kind of food you eat, because cooked food will not help your diabetes whatsoever. So raw will. So it's all up to the individual as to what he or she needs to do.
Oh, good enough. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Doctor, in regards to the fruits and the seed, can we eat the seed with the fruits that can be eaten?
You know, my own practice, whenever I eat any fruit that I can chew the seed and eat it, I eat it. Because the seed,
okay,
everything in it, everything. So if you can eat any seed of anything, eat it. That doesn't mean that you go around and eat all the seeds. No, no, no. There are some that are very hard. No, so use your common sense a little bit here.
Okay, thank you.
Question?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. There is so much speaking out against soybeans this day. So no soybeans, no soy meat, no soy.
Yes.
They're not giving so much of explanation. I can only speculate that. Is it because Monsanto has already changed the production of soybeans from being so natural? Or is it because soybeans naturally is bad from God?
No.
And
no vegetable, no fruits, no nothing out there that grows naturally that is bad. Those are from God. What has happened to the soybeans is Monsanto company has gone into it and spoiled it, and at the same time patented it so that you, a farmer who wants to plant that, you must buy your seed from them, and then you know very well that those seeds are already contaminated. So that's the reason why all these commercial soil products must be something you need to avoid because of this problem. Those farmers that still have their own local farms, they are very, very few now in number, because Monsanto is trying to control all the farms out there, especially in countries like here. That's where the problem lies. Because most, in fact, it's about all of these commercial farms have their seeds from Monsanto. And Monsanto actually mandates what they do. And so their products, which are basically filling our grocery stores, those are the things now that we are advised to be aware of. They are no longer safe as they used to. But that doesn't mean that the nature has turned chaos. No. Nature still remains. Only the people out there playing around with it.
Doctor, what about store-bought almond milk?
Well, as I stated, again, watch where that almond comes from. If it's organic and all that, you can do your own almond milk.
Right.
It's
okay.
Bad because, you know, we're supposed to be rich in all this natural stuff, but there are some giant people out there with huge bank accounts who are controlling things.
Also, sometimes I'm wondering, what is the definition of organic?
Oh,
is it because I grew up with my garden, what if I buy the seed from Monsanto, which has been genetically modified, and they have put already the gene of the pig in it, and I bought it from them, and I grew up in my own yard on my farm? Is that still organic?
No.
Or half organic?
It's not even organic, because the seed has been changed genetically. It's no longer what it used to be.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another question. How can we cleanse fermented food from system? I have noticed a lot of bloating lately. Weight or fast for 12 hours? I don't know if that was a question mark or...
Well, my simple advice is this. First of all, go on a cleanse. Detoxify your system. Clean it up. Once you finish with that and you are ready to eat, make sure that you eat two meals or three meals, whatever they are, and nothing in between. A lot of people munch all throughout the day, and their body, digestive system particularly, continuously work throughout the day. That's not help at all. Now, that's why they have all kinds of problems with their, you know, their digestive tract, fermentation, decaying, all these kind of things happening, because it's just too much work, load after load. There's no space for the digestive system to clean itself and get itself ready for the next load. It just continuously loaded throughout the day. And people chew chewing gum, have you noticed that, or chew lollies or whatever, they just keep chewing. They are like cows all day long. That is destruction to their own system. And that's why they have a problem. So they need to be educated.
Dr. Obane, this question just came in. Can you spell the name of the people or the outfit that messes with the seed?
Monsanto.
Can you spell that, please?
M-O-N... what is it? What's your next question?
Yeah, can you spell it, please?
Oh, M-O-N... S-A-N-T-O, Monsanto. It's based out there in Canada, but it's all over the United States, Australia, New Zealand, I think in England, in Europe. It's a huge company.
Mm.
We have the office in the Big Island in Hawaii.
Okay. All right.
Not only Monsanto, there are others also besides Monsanto.
Mm.
Now, talking about Canada, I read something about canola oil.
Oh, canola oil, okay.
Has been coming from Canada, and it's a rape seed which was originally meant for engine oil,
yes,
or grease for the automobile.
Yes.
But then they said because rape seeds are not eaten by the insects, so they're able to produce a whole lot by using that. And the article said $50 million was given to the FDA to give it the approval. Now the doctors all over, they are recommending it as next to olive oil. And a lot of people are believing that results are healthy, but the article kept saying it's actually causing cancer.
Yes.
I don't know what you know about this.
That is why we don't recommend canola oil whatsoever to our patients. When we to use, or when they ask us if they could use any oil, and I say, stay away from all of this. Maybe you can use olive oil, but not for cooking. All the rest of the oils are all polluted. They are all bad. Stay away from them. And those
are
the worst ones, canola oil and corn seed and cottonseed oil and corn oil and what else. Those are all bad, but they are all processed. All processed is the main problem.
Mm. Okay.
One of that, before our time goes, is that I read that microwave does destroy our food and turn into cancer-causing agents in our system.
Correct.
But
almost every home has microwave, and somehow we tend to use this thing, especially cook up a food so fast, and we don't use oven anymore. So
you don't use food because you will know this microwave eats the stuff from within, not from outside, but from within. It's a very strong radioactive radiation. It's very strong. It penetrates. So don't use it to heat up your food.
Okay. Doctor, what are the right combination when you eat fruits, vegetables, with nuts and seeds?
What do you mean, proportion-wise?
This question was texted to me. No, I think just mixing, yeah.
Food combination, food mixing.
Yes,
principle.
It depends how you look at it. Some people look at it from the content, like protein, carbohydrate, fat, or they look at it from just the colors, or they look at it from the amount. Here's our simple recommendation to our patients. 20% uncooked, 80% cooked. And uncooked, if it's fruits, only fruits, nothing else. And maybe a slice of bread or something, old grain or whatever. Okay? No butter, no nothing. If they have the 20% and 80% vegetables, that's when they can add a little bit of seeds, a little bit of nuts, a little bit of grains. See, with your vegetables, you can mix all the rest. With your fruits, just fruits alone.
How about the situation where people mix fruit and vegetables?
No. Even the spirit of prophecy condemns that. Science says it's not good for the system. You are actually causing the fermentation to take place because the digestion rate is different for vegetables versus fruits. Fruits, 2 hours, vegetables, 4 hours.
Wow. That's good to know.
Yes, it's very handy to know. That's why we are advising the food councils on health and, I mean, diet and food, not to mix the two in one meal.
Yes, I have seen. I've seen salads be made, and they sprinkle pineapples on them or some strawberry. So these are not, they're not good.
You know, that's why we need health education in our churches, brother.
Okay, also, how about when you juice, because lots of people are juicing vegetables and they want to sweeten it, so they throw apple in it or banana?
Well, I don't know, but in our program, we specifically have vegetables on their own and fruits on their own. Unless we can mix certain things, like, for example, pineapple is neutral, banana is neutral, avocado is neutral. But then we seldom use those, only when the needs come for it. But otherwise, vegetables on their own, fruits on their own.
Okay. Doctor, living in America, how can I be sure to buy pure non-GMO foods?
I don't know about California, because the bill was defeated. They were so rich they could go and buy out all those Congress people, but I don't know. All I can tell you is keep searching.
Okay.
It's pretty hard nowadays because... But, hey, there's something coming on the 25th of this month. Are you aware of that?
What is it?
There's a big march on the entire continent marching against this Monsanto business.
Oh, wow.
Yourself involved, but unfortunately for us, I think it's a Sabbath.
Really?
I think so. I'm not too sure. Maybe Saturday or Friday. Check. It's been announced in the radio and the television. The march on the 25th of this month. Great march all around the continent. Because, you know, people are educated. People know. And they are trying their best now to be heard by those authorities. So I don't know. Be proactive and join.
Yes. Okay. Another question, doctor. I have heard that the body recognizes GMO as unnatural. Thus, allergies occur. What do you think?
Can you repeat that again?
Okay. I heard, this is a text. I have heard that the body recognizes GMO as unnatural. Thus, allergies occur. What do you think?
Well, that, if that is the case, then that's leaching information from your body not good. That's GMO food. Because your body reacts against it. That's why you have that allergic reaction.
Yes. Okay. All right. So this time, I'm done with all my questions. I think I've asked all the questions that have been texted to me. Does anyone have any other question for Dr. Rabane right now? Okay. Thank you again, Dr. Rabane, for coming in tonight and giving us this health message. And thank you, everyone, for dialing in. Dr. Rabane, we know that you will be leaving tomorrow. To where are you leaving to?
Maryland, a little town called Bowie, or whatever the name is.
Uh-huh, and you're doing a health seminar there, right?
No, we're doing a training, 3-week course for students there who want to be good at health evangelism. That's our little subject that we teach people.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, God bless you, Dr. Rabane, and thank you for coming in.
Likewise to all of you.
Thank you, and helping us in our conference room. I know everyone was blessed yesterday, today, as well as the weekend, and we can't wait for you to come back so we can have more dialogue on this health. Thank you so much again, Dr. Rabane. Will you please offer a word of prayer to close? Thank you.
Yeah, before we pray, could Susanna announce the playback number in case somebody wants to come back?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Okay, Bob. Okay, the playback number is, if you want to hear the
recording?
The recording, it's, I lost the place. You dial 530-881-1399. And it's the same, access code. So again, the number is 530-881-1399, same access code. Okay? Thank you. Would that be all okay, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Rabane, will you please close this prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to spend some time looking at your guidelines and your instructions regarding our diet and our lifestyle. I just pray, Lord, that we will listen, we will follow, and we will live it. Thank you again for being with us throughout these evenings. And now I pray for your blessing upon all those that have listened and have sent in their questions, that you will be beside them to teach them more, because you are the best teacher and the best physician this world has ever known. Thank you again for healing and answering our prayers. And we thank you for all the blessings you've had as we dialogue together in this even past evenings, including tonight. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Rabane. Have a good night. Good night, everyone. Thanks for dialing in. Bye-bye.
Bye.